I want to welcome everybody to the Master's class here at Life Change Church. Life Change Church. And we are in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And we've got a lesson entitled The Bride for the Bridegroom. The Bride for the Bridegroom. Now, last week we began this love story of a father finding a bride for the son that he loves dearly. And actually, we began talking about two love stories with two fathers, two sons, two servants, and two brides. Now, one of those is Abraham, who, as a father, sends his servant back to the land that Abraham came from to find a bride for Isaac. Now, this unnamed servant that he sends is following the leading of the God of his master, Abraham, when he comes upon the house of Bethuel and where Rebekah lives. And his mission is to find a bride that has been selected by God for his master's son, Isaac. Now, the story of Abraham's search gives us the type or a symbol of a much greater second love story. Now, this second love story is the description of God the Father determining from the foundations of time that he would choose a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. Now, upon the completion of Jesus' work at Calvary, which was the finished salvation that he has provided for each of us, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit as his servant to gather together the bride for Jesus. Now, this bride is the body of Christ, which is made up of believers that have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior during the church age. We are the bride of Christ. You've heard that in the Bible many times, right? So today, we get to complete our study of these two love stories. And we're going to continue to see the parallels between the two stories, but our focus now is going to switch from the obedient servant that we talked about last week. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard last week's lesson, to listen to last week's lesson. But we're going to switch from the obedient servant to the bride, Rebekah, because it is a storytelling lesson, but it also has some really good spiritual meaning behind it, because God doesn't just put stories in the Bible. God puts stories in the Bible for our spiritual strengthening and our spiritual learning. And so that's what I try to do, is I try to bring that out as we tell these stories. All right, so with all that aside, let me try to get started here. Chapter 24, verses 28 through 29. And a damsel ran, and this is Rebekah, after identified by the servant, and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. Oh my. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. Now notice that the first thing that Rebekah did after the meeting of the servant of Abraham at the well was to run home and tell everyone the story of what had happened. And one of the things that the servant did was to give her a gold earring and some bracelets on her wrist, golden bracelets, right? And so she's showing up at home with all these treasures on her arms and so forth. And so we get to verse 30. And it came to pass when he, being Laban, saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. So now I want you to notice the focus of Rebekah's brother Laban. Oh, Laban, right? Well, we'll talk about him in a little bit here more, but the verse tells us that when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, that he took off running. He took off running around. Now, Laban is the person that will be worth keeping an eye on here as we move forward in this study of the book of Genesis, because the thing that impressed him was not the wonderful story or even the signs of God's leading that were contained in that story. What impressed Laban were the gifts. They were the gifts, and he was not particularly interested in the father, the son, or the servant. What he wanted was to get his hands on more of those rich gifts of the unnamed servant that had been brought along. So Laban, he rushes out there to meet this servant. And the verse tells us that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. So the man's standing out there by the camels, by the well. And the servant was just waiting out there by the well, wondering if he was really going to be welcomed or not, because Rebecca had said, yeah, we have room for you. And so he's out there, because nobody had come back out, wondering if he was going to be welcome or not. Yeah, Laban was not a man to leave opportunity waiting. So he runs out to the servant and speaks to him. Now, we will find out about the real nature of Laban when we study about Jacob. It was then that Laban revealed that he was someone who would use a believer for as long as there was profit in it for him. Now, what we can tell about from Scripture, Laban was a lost person to the very end. Now, we don't know that for sure, but it appears that way from Scripture. But he did know how to pay lip service to God. Verse 31 says, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Now notice that Laban tells the servant, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. So even Laban recognized the fact that there is a living God, the creator, the one true God, but it takes more than simply recognizing that God exists to be a believer. Laban's mind knows that God exists, but his heart has not accepted him as master. In verses 32 through 33, and the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. All right. So here we have the basics of the story that we've got, and here we have the continuation of the wonderful picture of the story of the Holy Spirit working to gather the bride for the bridegroom, which is Christ. And for this is the way that the church is being won today through the Holy Spirit, whom the Father and the Son have sent out into the world. The Spirit of God, like the servant of Abraham, has come to talk about somebody else. He's come to talk about Jesus Christ, to take the things of Christ and show them unto us. The Spirit of God is in the world to call out a bride for Christ, in the same way that the servant of Abraham has gone to get a bride for Isaac. Now, the Scripture tells us that Abraham's servant says, before I can eat, I want to tell you my mission. So the servant's mission is of primary importance, and nothing else can come first before he tells him what his mission is. Now, in the same way, the mission of the Holy Spirit is of primary importance as far as God is concerned. I know that there are other events that are very important to the world, things such as elections. We've got an election coming up here, right? It's all over the news and so forth, and I know it's important, but there's also wars going on, there's the economy, there's loss of jobs, there's other things that are important to the world. All of this is truly important, but God is not continuing to deal with this world because of General Motors or the government in Washington, D.C., be it Republican or Democrat. The stock market on Wall Street is of no great concern in heaven. The thing that is primary, as far as God is concerned, is to get the gospel out to all of the people of the world. And the Spirit of God is here to put that first. Now, the servant of Abraham will not eat before he has spoken, and so they tell him, okay, speak on. And as the servant begins his story, we see Rebekah learning about Isaac and learning of Isaac. And as we listen to this story, notice how it also describes the work of the Holy Spirit in teaching the lost of Christ, how they learn about Christ. Verse 34 says, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. Now, we said this last week, but notice that the servant does not give his own name, for he is not there to speak of himself. Likewise, the Lord Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will take of the things of mine and show them unto you. Now, let me ask you a question. You guys are all Bible scholars, right? You guys have been in Sunday school classes and Bible studies, you know, for years and years and years, much longer than I've probably even been alive, right? Not quite, but you know, some of you are well stricken in years. Remember that from a couple of weeks ago? Yeah. Now, some of you even are hoary-headed, right? But let me ask you a question, because you guys are so knowledgeable. What is the name of the Holy Spirit? Doesn't have a name, right? So when the Scriptures refer to Him, it is usually by the function that He performs. He is the Paraclete. He is the Comforter. He is the Spirit of God. Now, that's the way He is described in Scriptures. He doesn't have a name. So the Hebrew word for Spirit refers to a refresher, to a breath, to the energy of someone. And the Holy Spirit has no name. He does not come to speak of Himself. He has come to speak of another. He has come to speak of Christ. Similarly, the servant is not named in this Scripture. He is simply called the servant of Abraham. Now, I think I know who it is. And I told you last week, I think it's Eleazar. But I don't know that for sure. I mean, the Scripture doesn't tell me that. But he is simply called a servant of Abraham. And the servant continues telling them of his mission. So, chapter 24, the book of Genesis, verses 35 through 37. Says, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, hath bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. So the servant tells them of Abraham's refusal to pick a wife from the Canaanites because of their worship of idols. And if you remember, even Abraham was a pagan when God called him. Yet he has been transformed by his faith on God. Now the same could possibly be said of Abraham's relatives that God has led the servant to in talking. Now certainly it is clear from the Scriptures that they at least know of the one true God, and some have become believers. This is why Abraham has sent the servant back to them rather than picking a wife from the Canaanites. Now, in the same way, the Holy Spirit has been sent to find a bride among a lost world. Yet He knows that there are those who have heard of the one true God, and He knows that He can transform them if they will simply believe. Now, the Holy Spirit is calling out sinners, but they are sinners who Peter tells us are, in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Holy Spirit is calling out sinners. When they respond, they are made children of God, new creations. New creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So He is calling out these new creatures, these new born-again creations. Now notice that God does not take Canaanites or people of the world as a bride for His Son. Rather, His children must be transformed. They must be made brand new to be a part of the bride of Christ. So let's listen as the servant tells of his mission to Rebekah and her family. He's telling them of Abraham's specific instructions and the way that God has led him to their house. And he says that Abraham told him in verse 38, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and unto my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt still be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well. And this is him telling them that he came unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. And let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had even done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water, and I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And so I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and I said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right or turn to the left. And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. I'm going to take a deep breath now. I'm going to take a deep breath. This is, I said last week, the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, and we're proving that today, right? All right. So throughout the telling of this story, we know that Rebekah was learning of Isaac as she listened to the servant speak. Now and on this long journey back, she would have had 100 questions. Is he tall? How old is he? Is he kind? Is he rich like his father? Now, can you imagine that? A young girl getting ready to go, wanting to have lots of questions answered? Yeah. So in the same way, it is astonishing how little we know about Christ when we give ourselves to him, right? The Christian life is one of a lifetime of learning from the Holy Spirit who lives within our heart. Just who Christ is and what he has done and is doing and will do for us. I've spent an entire life studying it, and I've just scratched the surface. Now, certainly, the servant would have been delighted to tell Rebekah all about the man that she was going to marry. He would tell her about the father and his love for Isaac, and how Isaac was heir to all things, and how all the plans and purposes of God centered on him. And he would tell of the land that had been given to him and his heirs. And he would tell of Ishmael's mockery. And most of all, he would tell of Mount Moriah and how the father and son had gone together to that place and how Isaac had returned, as it were, from the dead. Now, Rebekah learned of Isaac, for that was the mission of the servant, to woo her and to win her as a bride for Isaac. Now, this is the mission of the Holy Spirit as well. He speaks of Christ to the lost soul to woo them and to win them. The lost learn of Christ from the Holy Spirit. He speaks of the Father's love for his Son and how he gave up his Son to die in our place, to die for our sins. And he teaches us of the work of the Son, the finished salvation that he has provided for us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he tells us of Christ's death and resurrection and of the precious blood that he shed for us. He tells us of the intercessory work that the Son, as our chief priest, performs for us at the right hand of God of the Father today. Now, the lost must come to know what Jesus Christ has provided for them, how much he loves them, and how much he wants them to trust him. That is the Holy Spirit's mission, to woo them and to win lost sinners to Christ so that they may become his bride. Amen. Aren't you glad we have the Holy Spirit here doing that? Amen? You guys are being awful quiet. Amen?
Amen?
There you go. All right. Now, so we have talked about Rebekah's learning about Isaac. And next we need to talk about the longing for Isaac that would have begun to develop in Rebekah because of the words of the servant. And the more she learned about Isaac, the more her heart yearned for him. And at first, he was just a name. Just like Jesus is just a name to so many. But gradually, a picture of Isaac would have begun to form in her mind and heart, and then she began to love him, just as Jesus becomes more and more real to us as the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us. Now, the lost person goes from barely knowing Jesus' name to wanting to surrender their whole life to him. And this is what the Holy Spirit is after in our own hearts, to fill them with the longing for the Lord Jesus until we can say, as in Psalms 42:1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So the Spirit of God would have us think less and less about the world and its ways, and more about Christ. Our hearts must begin to burn with a longing for the Lord. Verses 54 through 61, and they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go. I wonder what they were interested in, right? Now, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. All right, so notice the response that the family gave to the servant's request to let him depart immediately with Rebekah. The verse tells us, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she shall go. So we see here a hindering of the work of the servant that Laban and the girl's mother tries to do. The servant has a mission to accomplish, and the world, represented by Laban and the girl's mother, wants to delay him. Oh, now why would they want to delay him? What do you think they can get if they get him to come back again? You think maybe they're looking for more of those treasures before they'll give that girl up, right? Yeah, that's what they've got in mind. Where do you think Laban got this greedy streak? Sounds like it came from his mother, right? This is the same tactic they will use on Jacob, and because he is weak, he will submit to them. Not so with the servant of Abraham, who has been led by the angel of the Lord. So the same thing takes place in the work of the Holy Spirit. The world wants to prevent the work of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that Satan hates more than a lost person accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Satan will use the art of delay to hinder the work of the Spirit. And he will say, well, why rush into this? You can make up your decision tomorrow, the next day. But even next week. You got a long life in front of you. You can have party and fun and then wait till the very end and then get it taken care of then, right? The art of delay. Now, in response to Laban and the mother's attempt to delay him, Abraham's servant challenges them by saying, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. So the servant tells them that this is the work of the Lord and they must not delay him. And so it becomes a time of decision. A time of decision. And the verse tells us that in response they call Rebekah and they ask her to choose yes or no. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. So Rebekah faces this time of decision, and she chose to go with the servant. Now, in the very same way, as the Holy Spirit works within the lost person's heart, there comes a time of decision, a time where the gospel has been presented, and the Holy Spirit has presented the facts that they have sinned against God, that they have been condemned to death and an eternity in hell for their sins. He has also told them of God's remedy, of the salvation that God has provided for them. He has told them of the truth of the gospel. He has told them that Jesus has died for them, paid the penalty up for their sin, and that he rose again on the third day and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. He tells them that in order for them to accept this free gift of the grace of God, they must repent of their sins and believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the one and only path to everlasting life. Then the time of decision comes, and a person must accept or reject the gospel given by the Holy Spirit. Now, whoever said that there's no gospel message in the Old Testament, right? It's full of the gospel. It is full of the gospel. So likewise, Rebecca has come to a decision point in her life. She has learned of Isaac, and through the words of the servant, she now has a longing for Isaac. And what is her response to the question of Laban and her mother? She tells him, I will go. There's no equivocation. There's no hesitation. She says she will go. Now, these same words must be spoken by the lost person. I will surrender my life to Jesus. I will accept him as my master. There must be no equivocation, no hesitation. You cannot be half saved. You either have to make the decision to accept Christ as your master or you reject him. There is no middle ground. It is yes, I will, or no, I won't. It's just that simple. So next, once Rebecca has made her decision, she then begins to look for Isaac. She's learned of Isaac. She longs for Isaac. Now she begins to look for Isaac. Now, in the same way, once a lost person has made their decision, a lifelong journey of looking for Christ begins. And we have become a new creation, and we want to conform our minds to the mind of Christ, and it will take a lifetime of service to truly learn of Christ. But the Holy Spirit will continue to be there in our hearts, teaching us and strengthening us each and every day. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. There we go. All right, yeah. All right. I'm going to have to keep you guys awake, aren't I? So, not only was the servant Rebecca's convincer, we shall see in a moment that he was also her counselor and her comforter. The servant was a convincer to want to come. He was a counselor, and he's going to be her comforter on this trip back. So we have a comforter as well. The Holy Spirit is called the comforter in John 15, 26. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit comforts us, he counsels us, and he teaches us about the things of God. All right, and then look, if you will, in verse 61 again, and the Bible says that they, meaning Rebecca and her damsels, followed the man, and they rode upon the camels. Okay, so where did all these camels come from? Did he buy them? Did he get more camels to take everybody back? Now, the answer is found in verse 10, and as we go there, I want to show you something very special. Go back to verse 10 of chapter 24, and this is when he's heading out away from Abraham, heading towards Abraham's house. It says, and the servant took what? 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now, the Bible tells us that Abraham was one of the wealthiest men of all history. Now, when you're going somewhere and you're trying to get a teenage girl to be a bride, you don't need 10 camels. It's not like the native Indians where they were swapping horses for wives, okay? That's not what was going on here, all right? The camels were not part of the gifts for the girl or her family. The idea is that these camels were loaded. They were groaning with wealth. 10 camels with all of the goods of Abraham, that's what this servant was emphasizing, were in the Abraham's servant's hand. And he was really doing an overkill here. He was just wanting to show how rich his master is. And so now he goes out with 10 camels full of treasures. He's trying to get this girl to come, trying to get the family to give up. He wants to convince them how wealthy his master is. That's what was on these camels, right? So, well, what is he doing with all these treasures that he's got? What were they for? Look, if you will, in verse 53 of the same chapter here. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Oh my, he settled right there and satisfied the mother and the brother so that they would let her go, right? And there they were, and all these treasures, they were for Rebekah, her brother, and her mother. They were used to show them about Abraham and most of all, Isaac. But they were also to help Rebekah on the long journey back to Isaac. Now, to understand what happens here, you got to use just a little bit of imagination. This isn't in the scriptures, but I'm just using my imagination as I think about this long trip heading back with a teenage girl to somebody who's traveling, right? So, you know, they're riding along, and after a while, Rebekah gets to thinking, oh my, what have I done? I wonder, is there really even a guy named Abraham? Is this guy just flim-flamming me? And if there is he really that rich? And Isaac, is he really that handsome? He's probably really ugly if they had to give me all these gifts, right? He's probably some fat, ugly old man, right? Is he really that kind? Is he really that majestic? Is this just a story that this person has made? Am I really being a fool here? Now, maybe she had doubts. Maybe she had fears. And I believe anyone would, wouldn't you? I mean, you got this long journey heading back. I mean, think about it. She's traveling with a man she does not know, to a place she has never been, to marry a man that she knows only through the words of this stranger. And so Abraham's servant was a wise man. And that is the reason why Abraham had him for such a trusted servant. He's the one that he gave control of everything in his empire, right? So he would look over, this servant would look over at Rebekah and see her chin start to quiver just a little bit. See, maybe a tear moistened the corner of her eye, and he knew the doubts that she was having. And he'd just reach into that chest of jewels and put a necklace around her neck and say, this is from Isaac. He wanted you to have this. He told me specifically he wanted you to have this necklace on the way back. You're going to really love Isaac when you get there. And after a while, he'd slip a ring on her finger. Hey, that's from Isaac too. Yeah, you know, Isaac is so wonderful. You're really going to love Isaac when you get there. And all along that road, he'd be sharing precious things of his master. Now, in the same way, that is what the Holy Spirit of God does for us. Did you know that? Oh, when the doubts come, when the fears come, when the difficulties come, when we wonder, is there really anything to this Christ follower thing? Am I just a colossal fool to turn my life over to something? Thank God for the Holy Servant, for the Heavenly Servant. Thank God for the one who drops these treasures into our heart and tells us He is our convincer. He is the one who is our counselor, who brings us to Isaac. And He is the one who is our comforter, who keeps reminding us of the Heavenly Bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Amen? 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 Yeah, there you go. All right, now, that's still a little weak, but I'll let that one pass, all right? All right, so then we come to the coming of the groom. Now, notice, if you will, now, in verse 62 and 63 of this same chapter, and what a wonderful chapter this is. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now, let me ask you once again to use your imagination here, okay? If you knew that your father had sent his servant to bring you a bride, what would you be thinking about? Well, I think I know what I'd be thinking about, but I know exactly what I would be thinking about. I'd have been thinking about that bride. How good is this servant going to be at picking a good bride for me? Is she going to be some ugly old woman, or is she going to be a bright, young, pretty thing, and so forth? Just like she was worried about whether or not he was an ugly old man, right? Thoughts had to be there. So Isaac is out there at the edge of the field, and he is meditating. And he's at the edge of the field at eventime. And I want you to underscore that phrase, the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now you have to understand the literary form here. You have to understand that this is one of the most potent and one of the most exciting episode and verses of the entire Bible. Here they come. Isaac has been praying. He's been longing. He's been looking. He's been waiting. And she's been anticipating. She's been learning. And now that electrifying moment comes when they meet face to face. The Bible says that Isaac is at the edge of the field. Now, he can only go so far because you see in the early part of this chapter, the servant was to bring the bride to him. Now, he comes out to the edge of the field to meet her, and there they meet. You see, that fulfills the type. For the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come all the way to this earth to get us. Oh, no, he doesn't. We are caught up to meet the Lord in the air at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So when the Lord comes to the edge of the field at eventide, that is at the end of this age, when the shadows of this age are growing long, at that time known to God alone, Jesus Christ, our heavenly Isaac, shall step to the edge of the field, and behold, the camels are coming, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. So what happens when that takes place? I want you to see how exciting all this is, and it's right here in this story. Verse 64, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel." Now listen, that camel was way too slow for Rebekah. Jeez, it was just way too slow for her. Yeah, you talk about a sales job that this servant had done. Now, Rebekah jumps down off that camel and she runs to Isaac. Now why did she know to run to him? Of all the people out there in that field, why did she run straight to Isaac? How did she know this was her bridegroom, Isaac? Well, look in verse 65. "For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." Now, do you think that was all by mistake, that Isaac would be there in that field? No, he's coming to me. He's coming to me. This whole thing is engineered. There's a meeting there that's taking place. Now listen to the wonder of all this. Jesus said, in the last days, there are going to be false prophets saying, I am Christ. And he said, don't believe them. They'll deceive many in Matthew 24:11. But when Jesus comes, we'll know him. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit says, that's him. That's the one I've been telling you about. He is my master. And every blood-bought child of God who has the convincing work of the Holy Spirit, the counseling work of the Holy Spirit, and the comforting work of the Holy Spirit, and now the confirming work of the Holy Spirit, will say, that's him. That's Jesus Christ. That's my Lord and Savior. And we, as it were, will run to meet our master, just like Rebekah ran to meet Isaac. Amen? Amen. All right, that's getting better. All right, so while Rebekah is looking for Isaac, Isaac, as the bridegroom, is waiting for the bride. Go back to verse 62. "And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the same country." So now all of this time, Isaac has been waiting. Isaac has been to Mount Moriah, and his task was done there. The calling of the bride was the work of another. He was to wait in the Father's presence until the appointed time that he would go forth to meet his bride. Now the time must have seemed like a long time, but finally that great day came, and Isaac went out to meet his bride and escort her home. Now today the Lord is just waiting at God's right hand. His work is done, and he sits in communion with the Father. His thoughts are filled with the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the world, and one of these days, the time of waiting will be over, and he will rise up and go forth to meet his bride. And then the cry will ring out in Matthew 25:6, And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." What a day that will be. Amen. There you go. I got a good one then. All right, I know I'm running late, but I'm going to finish this up here. Verses 66 and 67, it says, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Now, I want you to know something really special here. This verse tells us that, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife." So now Rebekah was not Sarah, but a different person entirely. Yet she was brought into a position formerly occupied by Sarah. Likewise, the church is not Israel. However, the church has been brought into a position formerly occupied by Israel. The church has been brought into the place of spiritual privilege presently vacated by Israel. And the Lord Jesus finds all his joy in the church, his blood-bought bride. Israel is never regarded as the bride of Christ. She is the wife of Jehovah, and in the coming day, Israel will be restored to her lost position. God's not done with Israel. But right now, the focus is on Christ and his church. And so we have moved into that spiritual place of Israel. Now, as that tent flap closes and the two enter into the most intimate of all human relationships, it is but a foregleam of that time when the church becomes one with her Lord, whom having not seen, we love. But one of these days, faith will turn to sight, hope will turn to reality, and we will become one with our Lord. And I think it's the greatest love story ever written. Thank God for the romance of redemption. Got two tremendous love stories, two fathers, two bridegrooms, two servants, and two brides. Isaac loves Rebekah, but that is pale in comparison to the love of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit for the bride of Christ. Don't be left out of this love story. Accept Christ today and be with him for all of eternity. Now, I'm going to ask you one last question. I know I'm really running late, but that's okay. John can just yell at me today. All right. I want to ask you one last question. I said that Rebekah was chosen. Now, are you listening? What if she had said no? What if she had said, "I will not go with this man. I don't know this man. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to go off to some far land." She could have said that because she had a will of her own. Now, if she had, she would have been a forgotten woman, and we never would have heard her name. But thank God she said yes and is enshrined in our hearts and in the halls of heaven forever. Now, God has commissioned me today to ask you a question, and even those that are listening today on the podcast, are you ready for this question? My Heavenly Father has said to me, "Keith, I want you to go teach this lesson. Tell people about Jesus. I want them to be Jesus' bride. Tell them how wonderful Jesus is. And then tell them that he who loves you is coming back for you one day. Will you receive Jesus as your Savior and seek to make his will yours today? Tell the people, Keith, that whosoever may will come." Amen? Amen. Amen. All right.